I have a message I'd like to share with you from the Lord tonight. I believe it's intended for me first. Think about times in my life where I've spent time looking at other people. And kind of like Peter, what's this man going to do? Maybe even looking at them, assessing them, wondering if they're going to make it or not. This message tonight to me is self-examination. For myself. We really don't have time to spend looking at others now. We're too close to the end. I would like to start tonight with a verse of a song, and I'd like for you to sing it with me.
Eternity draws near as time moves on, when earth shall disappear, I shall have gone out in the great unknown to reap what I have sown. Summoned before the throne, then where shall I go? Where shall I go? Where shall I go? From the great judgment seat, where shall I go?
In Hebrews, in the 11th chapter, and in the 3rd verse, says, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed. You know, it takes faith for me to even to believe that God spoke it into existence. It's through faith we understand that. I want to tell you, everything else comes by faith also. Through faith, I understand that one day He's going to speak it out of existence. Through faith, I understand there's something out ahead that will never end called eternity. Thought about the creation. Seems like everything began with Genesis 1. With Him speaking it into existence. Seemed like that must have been the beginning of all things, but it wasn't. Thought of the definition of eternity. A state to which time has no application. Eternity. No beginning and no ending. As a human, I cannot fathom that. Because I have been wrapped in time. My day is wrapped in time. 8 o'clock means something to me on a work day. 4:30 also means something to me on a work day. Just this meeting itself, how valuable time is to us to be able to tell this is when this service is going to begin, and everybody knows that. You know, God didn't need time before He created the earth. He gave time to us at Genesis 1 and 1 through that first chapter there for our convenience. Eternity was going on then. Eternity has continued from the day He spoke it into existence to today. But it needs no measurement of time because it didn't have a beginning and it didn't have an ending. Through faith, it's going to take faith for me to understand that. With all that the world is saying around us today about there not being a God, with them talking about the earth being billions of years old, when they say that, you never hear God attached to it. It is our own understanding of how it came to be. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by His word. Through faith, I also understand that one day He's going to speak it out of existence. But that won't be the end of all things. It'll really, for us, be only the beginning. Think of a verse in Isaiah 57 and 15. The only verse in the Bible that says the word eternity. Thus saith the high and lofty one, that inhabiteth eternity. God has dwelt there. We'd like to say from the beginning, but there was no beginning. It's his dwelling place. He inhabits eternity. There is another song that I'd like to look at that tries to give us some kind of a description for us to understand about eternity. It's song number 328. It says, time onward flows like a river vast, while age on age it has borne to the sea. Have you thought about it before? I know that in my lifetime there have been ministers that said, I feel like the end of all things is very near. The end of time seems to be very close, and yet it hasn't come. And yet, time is flowing on like a river. And one generation after another, it has carried to the sea of eternity. And down this stream, we have come at last to see time end in eternity. And I want to tell you, as we think about the times that we have heard ministers over the years, many years ago, tell us, I believe the end is very near. It could be tomorrow. If we're not careful, we can become calloused to that. We have heard it. Third chapter of 2 Peter says that. There's going to be scoffers come in the last days saying, where is the promise of his coming? Since our fathers fell asleep, all things have continued as they were from the beginning. But you know what? Right there is something for us to remember. Said he's not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but he's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any would perish. For us today to question, why hasn't the end come if he said it was going to come? It's for that very reason. He's not willing that any would perish. The second verse says, what is this life but a fleeting day? Soon death will come with a stern decree. In my life, I remember the time when I was younger, and it seemed like it's all out ahead for me. We read in the Bible about 70, and I look at that now, and I'm about 13 years away from it. Time has passed for us all. To children, it'll be hard for you to imagine what I'm talking about today, but we're all headed for eternity. And this one, the chorus of it, well, it says, what is this life but a fleeting day? Soon death will come with a stern decree. Then one by one, we must pass away and change from time to eternity. Eternity, eternity, will you dwell with Christ in eternity? That's the question. What determines if you and I will dwell with Christ in eternity? I've gone to a lot of funerals in my life of friends and people that I worked with, and it seems like everybody's going to go to heaven. It seemed like all it took to be able to make it there was making a decision for Christ. If you were to listen on the radio today, you would hear preachers say, stop for a little bit. Take 5 minutes and make a decision for Christ. And that is to carry you through to where you're prepared for eternity. It's the choices. We heard tonight a prayer request for people that are making wrong choices. The choices that I make day by day are determining my destiny. It hardly seems possible that a decision I made today that maybe in itself was not even wrong, but it started me down a path that if time continues long enough, it will determine my destiny. The very first choice that I need to make after reaching the age of accountability is the same one that Jesus talked to Nicodemus about. You must be born again. Folks, I see on bumper stickers coexist, and they'll have all different kind of religions. Let's just all get along. I want to tell you, Christianity is a hated religion, and there's a reason for that, because it allows for no other. The first commandment that God of heaven gave, thou shalt have no other gods before me. I'll accept no other one. I will not be satisfied to be on the end of a coexist bumper sticker along with all the others. God will be God above everything else. And there are some verses that tell us about that. I'd like to look at a couple of them. One of them is in Acts. Because the young people coming up today, not just the young people, but all of us, need to be able to understand that God is not willing to share his glory with other religions. Acts 4 and 12 says, "Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." This verse will stand to eternity. There is no other. Philippians 2 and 10, the second chapter of Philippians tells us about Jesus humbling himself, taking upon him the form of a servant. But then it said he'd be highly exalted, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Well, I agree, every knee should bow, but they're not doing that today. But there's another verse that'll go right along with it. It's Romans 14 and 1. It changes that should to a shall. Every knee shall bow. It's going to happen. The time is coming where it will happen. Every knee will bow. Eternity. It contains two options: heaven or hell. That is hard for me to comprehend, because in life I have so many choices that I can make. I get to choose where I want to live. Tomorrow, if I wanted to move to California, I can sell my place and move. We can go wherever we want to go. If I am tired of my job, I can turn in a notice or just walk off and leave it and go somewhere else to find another. There's lots of choices, lots of options. But at the time of death, when I breathe my last breath, not me only, every one of us here, and every person that has ever lived, for thousands of years, people have been going one by one out into eternity, with it being heaven or hell. And I want you to think about something tonight, and I want to be careful of how I say it. It's this serious. At this instant, at this second, every person in this room, every person in this world has a label attached to them of heaven or hell. Should there be only one breath left in your body, it's determined right now where you will spend eternity. Now I look at that. Is that predestination? Not at all. That was determined by choices I have made up to this instant. What I have done with Christ's dealings with me. And I want to be real quick to tell you that along with this, there needs to be a message come right on its heels about the mercy of the Lord. Because, and I am thankful that this place is given to God alone. And I've got some places I want to tell you about where this has happened, what I'm talking to you of the label being attached to people. But his mercy to a sinner tonight, he will start calling and drawing. Should you die in your sins where he is, you cannot come. But his mercy starts calling, because he's trying to draw you to that place that you're saved, and should you breathe your last, heaven is attached as your label. But you know what? It works the other way also. I can be close to the Lord with heaven attached as my label tonight. But the devil knows that, and he's going to do everything he can to make me fall. I want to give you an example of that. Let's go to Revelations. Because Jesus gave this to a whole congregation, 3 and 14. "Unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works." Surely God tonight knows our works. We heard the other night about every way of a man is right in his own eyes. We need God to judge us. I need God to show me, Dan, here's where you are. Because it says here, "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou art cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth." That hasn't happened yet. He's telling them, here's what's coming. because of the condition that you're in. Here's where the mercy of the Lord is extended to us as Christians. Here's where the mercy of the Lord is extended to sinners, to draw them to a place where heaven is their home should they breathe their last. And here is their assessment. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes. Here was their assessment of themselves. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and I have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable, poor and blind and naked. But then he didn't cut it off there. He didn't say your title today, should you breathe your last, you're lost. What he said is, unless you make a change, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. You're headed in this direction. Folks, I want to tell you, probably every one of us, and I know for myself, it has happened that way where the Lord deals with me, Dan, there's something that you need to change in your life. It is very important when I think of this fact that there's a label attached to my soul at this minute. It could be saved, and that's what I want it to be. But just like this church of the Laodiceans, they were moving from one place to another, and the Spirit of the Lord is dealing with them. But he comes on to them in this mercy, and he says, I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire. Renew your consecration. Renew your desire. See who you are and make the changes of it. There is another one that we read about, the rich young ruler. You know, when he came to Jesus, all he realized was, I've got a question. There's something more that I want, and I don't know what it is. I'm coming with a question. I believe it was an honest question. He had been obeying the things that he knew up to that point. What constitutes a sin? To him that knoweth to do good and then does not do it. He wasn't in that place when he came and met Jesus. If we were using this assessment tonight to the rich young ruler, I believe he had heaven stamped on his title. He just wanted to make sure of it. He had been doing, you know, if you lived under the Old Testament law, the obedience to the law was what was needed and making the necessary sacrifices. But he wanted to be very sure. So he comes to him, and then Jesus tells him, you got something else. And now the knowledge has come. You know what? It says he went away sorrowful. In my mind, I don't think Jesus cut him off as he turned his back to walk away. Have you ever been dealt with by the Lord at night when you're laying in bed and it's quiet and you got time to think? I just wonder if the Spirit of the Lord didn't follow that young man home and talk to him. Not, I don't want to change your title. I don't want to cut you off. We have no record where he ever came back. But that also is in God's hands. For me tonight to realize the seriousness of, it's not good enough for me to say, someday I plan to take care of this problem that I have. I need to see the seriousness of God's mercy running out on me and the tag changing of where I'll spend eternity. There is also in Luke the 13th chapter, 7th and 8th verses. Remember it said the owner of the vineyard came and he looked at this one vine and he said, these 3 years I've been coming by seeking fruit on this vine and I haven't had it. Cut it down and let it go. Why cumber it the ground? But to me, Jesus, the keeper of the vineyard, said, I tell you what, give me one more year. Let me work about it. Let me spend some time with it. That is the mercy of the Lord, to not let my title go from one to the other, that if I breathe my last, now I'm lost. The mercy of the Lord is extended to us. That's why God says it's real important for me to do inventory only for myself. Because when I look at others, I'm not able to see about how the mercy of the Lord is working with them. I'm thankful he has mercy. He has extended that mercy to me. But I think of the seriousness about what we're talking about. For us to walk from here, step out into eternity, I cannot fathom something that has no end. Now, to be marked with heaven and make it to heaven, that's the way I want it to be. But folks, I want to tell you, if we die in our sins, where he is, we cannot come. It doesn't matter how much of the religious world says it's not possible to live free from sin, you'll still be able to make it. Or how many of the religious world says make a decision for Christ and it'll lock you in for eternity. You will make heaven your home. We can change the direction of the destiny of our soul. Jesus, in mercy, works with us. There is another example that I feel for myself I want to be very careful and quick to correct. We have things happen in our life where somebody hurts us, and maybe hurts us bad. And I can't forgive. It hurts too bad. I would like for us each one out in the future to think about it's the mercy of the Lord that works with us. But to think about my title somewhere will change. God's mercy somewhere will run out for me if I hold it too long. What verse do I have for that? Where he says, if you don't forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you. Folks, every one of us are in need of our Father forgiving us. There's also another one that seems like some of these hurts we can hold on to for a while. But it says, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. I'm not gone yet. It's just troubling me. But thereby, many can be defiled. I want to be very careful in my life because I realize it's not enough for me to be ready today. I'm not home yet. There is another song. It says, thy conscience once so keen to feel that voice sent to reprove. No more is stirred by God's appeal to seek his pardoning love. And yet I can look at that and say, I know where I stand before the Lord. Think of the verse, the prayer in Psalms that says, search me, O Lord, know my heart, try me, know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me. Because every one of us are headed for eternity. Sometime we can feel like, well, since it hasn't happened as a group, the closing down of all things in the world coming to an end. But you know what? One by one, they're leaving. To the oldest ones here today, I think of those that have in the last, if we could say in the last 20 years, every one of us could write a page of people who have stepped from time into eternity. I think of Brother Gordon Humphrey, sit right here on these front benches for years and years and years. Tonight, he's out into eternity. An eternity that will never end. Folks, there is, we can't fathom it enough what it's going to take for us to have a carefulness about our walk with the Lord, that nothing takes the chance. I will let nothing stand in the way. I will not walk on the edge anymore. Because there'll come a time that my title will change. And it says, because they received not a love for the truth. They came to the place that they believed a lie and were damned. Their title changed without them ever knowing it. I'm not above that. I must respond to the Spirit of the Lord working in my heart every day. Think about the man that beheld his face in the glass, had some intentions to go out and do something about it. Said he went away and he forgot what manner of man he was. Now, does that mean he was lost? No. The Spirit of the Lord will be faithful to deal with us, and I am thankful for it. But don't rely on that. Don't tread on his mercy. If there is anything that God has showed you in the past, and you have a plan, one day I'm going to take care of it. Don't take a chance. There is another verse in Romans 11 and 22. Behold, therefore, the goodness and the severity of God. In them which fell, severity. But toward thee, goodness. I love that verse. Toward all of his children, it's goodness. But look at what that, how that verse continues. If thou continue in his goodness, Otherwise, you'll also be cut off. I have no promise for myself. I have no heritage because my mom and dad lived right. I'm guaranteed to make it. It says, if you continue in his goodness, goodness will be extended toward me. I was thinking about Ecclesiastes 12 and 1. It tells us about the aging process. But it also starts that chapter talking to the young people. It says, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth. And I appreciate what I have seen in this meeting. Young people responding to the Spirit of the Lord in their life. That's where this verse starts. Remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Starting out young and building from it is the best way to keep the title clear of heaven for my soul. But then it goes on down in the fifth verse that man goes to his long home. Just a little bitty verse right there, but such a big implication. He steps out into eternity to never have a change happen in his life. And then it tells us where we're from in the seventh verse. The dust is going to return back to the earth. And the spirit's going to return back to the Lord that gave it to be judged for the deeds done in the body. There's a verse in Ecclesiastes. I'd like to look at it in the seventh chapter. Because this is not a cheerful message, but it's one that we need to prepare ourselves for heaven. It says in the second verse of the seventh chapter, it is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting, for that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart. It's better to go to a funeral and be able to get a glimpse of where I'm headed and make adjustments if they're needed. There's a funeral that I would like for us to take a look at. It's the closest glimpse that we have to it. It's in Luke, the 16th chapter. We have read this so many times through our life that it can get old after a while. But this is what happens when I step from time to eternity. It says, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. But time passes. There's a funeral for both. Came to pass, the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. What caused the beggar to be able to make heaven? Is this an indicator that all poor people will make heaven? Not at all. This beggar could have been lost right next to the rich man if his attitude would have been wrong. If he had been out there every time the rich man came out and he'd been hollering at him, you're going to pay for this, your time's coming, and his attitude was wrong, he'd have been lost. But I can't help but believe that he committed his welfare to his father for him to take care of him. Says the rich man also died, and he was buried. He had his funeral also. And in hell, judgment has come. It doesn't even tell us what he did wrong. It doesn't tell us by this story. I want to tell you, don't steal from anybody, because that's how he got wealthy, was he stole. No, he failed to do what was needed to prepare his soul for eternity. The rich man died and was buried, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. There's a lot of parables in the Bible, in the New Testament, that tells us the kingdom of heaven is likened unto something. It's just an analogy. This one doesn't start that way. It says there was a certain beggar. There was a certain rich man. Eternity. No beginning and no ending. This was possibly a little over 2,000 years ago. Tonight, the rich man is there. Being in hell, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus. Over 2,000 years ago, send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. Is it worth it to hang on to unforgiveness? Is it worth it to walk too close to the world? And in hell, he lifted up his eyes. It would be one thing, I thought about this today. It would be one thing if at the end of our life we died like a dog and was buried and there's nothing else out there. But folks, there's a reward for the faithful. There's punishment for those that are unfaithful. It would be another thing if it was for 5 years and it'll be over. It would be another thing if you could get a second chance. There are some religions that say it's possible for you to pray somebody else out of purgatory. In hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. He cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. I'm tormented in this flame. The result of the Lord's dealings coming into my life, and I postpone them until my title changes and I breathe my last breath. Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented forever. Beside all this, between us and you, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. By faith we understand there's a heaven and a hell, just like Jesus was talking about 2,000 years ago when he was talking to the rich man. Beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot. No chance of changing my condition after that. Neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. He's got a concern for those that are back here. Don't want to let them come to this place. If I can't get out of it, please help my brothers that they not come. Send him to my father's house, for I have 5 brethren. Apparently, he felt like and they're headed here unless somebody can turn them around, that he may testify to them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith to him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. We'll get nothing more than that ourselves. They have Moses and the prophets. We have scripture today that we can look at. We get to read this story about the rich man and Lazarus. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said, no, it wouldn't even change them if you sent them back from the dead. But there's also one little word in here when Abraham was talking to him. Son, remember. There is a song that we sing sometime. It's an altar call song that says, if then you're lost and forgotten, writhing in flames of despair, you will remember that you've chosen. No, I didn't choose it. It was by failing to respond to the dealings of God in my life that I went by default. It went to that setting. We're compassed about by a great cloud of witnesses. Those who made it, and just people that I have known in my lifetime, faithful people that made it, are a testimony to me. Come on, Dan, you can make it. You'll only make it by denying yourself, taking up your cross, and follow me. Folks, we also, in a cloud of witnesses, we have people that did the other, that failed to take the counsel of the Lord, that made bad choices and continued with it. And now they're out in eternity too, and it has no end. One day, should I die, and the Bible could be written again, my name could appear in here. Where would it be? Would it be in the Lazarus category? Will it be in the rich man's? It's going to be determined by the choices that I make every day. Folks, we're besieged by pressure around us to let up. When you feel it, stop, get quiet, and ask God to give you a glimpse of eternity. Will anything be worth taking the chance? The things that that people are choosing to do today, that they say there's nothing wrong with it, if it takes 5 years for it to cause your title to be changed, it's not worth it. Because when I breathe my last, it's going to be determined at that time. There will be mercy extended. There has been mercy extended to every one of us. Dealings in our life, and I do not want to shortchange that mercy. None of us would have made it without the mercy of the Lord. Don't count on that. When the Lord deals with you in any area, if He has dealt with you in any area, this cloud of witnesses was intended to cause us to lay aside every weight and the sin which would so easily beset us and cause my title to be changed. I'd like to close with another song. This song is number 392. And this one asks a question for me and also for you. Where art thou? It says, O sinner, where art thou? Thy soul designed for light is like the raging ocean or storms of sullen night. The sinner. But there's also another category. Neglector. The one that intends to make it. I intend to make changes in what God has been dealing with me about. I'm going to do it sometime. Neglector, where art thou? Oh, do not be too late. This call may leave you hopeless. Tomorrow, it may seal your fate. It moves to another category. Backslider, where art thou? Since thou hast gone astray, no peace attends thy spirit. Thou art weary all the day. And then here's the last verse. I'd like for that to be my verse till I step out into eternity. It says, O Christian, where art thou? Thy happy soul is blessed while waiting by the river for thy eternal rest. Got my title? Clear. I'm just waiting for the day to take over, take possession of it. Don't rest there. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. We're only safe after we take that last breath, after following all the proddings of the Lord, the dealings of the Lord in my life. The reason I say that is I look at this song and I look at the writer of it, and I'm surprised to find it's the same writer that wrote 409. When he wrote those songs, the last verse was his. I'm just waiting by the river. Going to make heaven my home is my determination. The devil knew he had a few breaths left in his body, had some time out ahead, and sent something to trip him up. Twirl D.O. Teasley and his own testimony was lost in the end. I don't want this to be a dismal message. The mercy of the Lord is extended to every one of us, but I can walk over His mercy with a good heart that says, I see the change that I need to make in my life, and I'm going to do it someday. And the time comes that I breathe my last, and I'm lost forever. Think of the rich man. Surely after 2,000 years, we can say it's enough. He's only begun. We're going to join that eternity one day, whether it's one by one or this whole world as a unit. It really matters not. We got to be ready every day. We've got to heed the checks and the calls. The times that this meeting is going on and I feel the Lord prick me and say, Dan, there were 10 virgins. 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. Folks, I can't help but feel there was a day that all 10 of them would have been ready. Because 5 of them woke up and the oil had run out. They had it. But time continued. Time was their enemy. They didn't keep the oil replenished. You remember what was said to them when they realized the call has come and I'm not ready? To those who are ready, would you please give me something quick? I need some of yours to be able to make it. And they said, no, you're going to have to go and get it for yourself. And while they were gone, the bridegroom came, and they were not ready. I don't want to be in the foolish virgin category. We don't have to be. Christ will be faithful to deal with our heart. It's the choices that I make with those dealings that will determine when I breathe my last breath. Because God's not going to have a jury to decide. There's not an almost category that's better than hell, but not quite. You know, we hear sometimes people talk about there's degrees of heaven. Folks, there's heaven or hell. There's not, okay, you almost decided. Agrippa is not going to be in a better category than Lazarus. I mean, than the rich man, if he never made the choice to make the change. There is not an almost category. Sometimes I can satisfy myself, but I'm not as bad as this one here. I'm doing a lot better than these around me. It'll not be good enough if the title is not there. I desire your prayers. I'm not home yet either. Every one of us may have some years out ahead of us. We may not see the end of all things come. It won't matter because you give about 50 or 75 years and a bunch of us will be gone out in the great unknown to reap what I have sown. Summoned before thy throne, then where shall I go? I desire your prayers.